Hi there. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey today. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio. This release is a rewind from our archives.
My motivation, K-Town, was to get this message out because over the years, knowing about the UFO phenomenon and also Bible prophecy on the side, I begin to see a convergence of both issues coming together. And even today, you can get online to reputable news sources and scientists who years ago would not have anything to do with a discussion of alien life, are now talking about the possibility of the discovery of extraterrestrial aliens. And we're talking scientists on the level of NASA, Stephen Hawking, all of these high-level people years ago would have never done this, although back in the 60s, Carl Sagan did talk about it, he and his co-author of a book from that era. But today, even the Vatican is talking about contact with aliens and extraterrestrials. This convergence, I began to see in the Bible that in Revelation 12, it talks about fallen beings being cast out of heaven and coming to earth. And if you couple that with the alien myth that we have that is worldwide, and is going, that everybody knows about. If I say UFO, everybody has a picture in their mind of an alien spacecraft. And that's how pervasive that the UFO myth is across the world. Couple that with scientists talking about it, and then the spiritual issues from the Bible and Bible prophecy, and I just believe that we are headed to a massive spiritual deception that people who read the Bible, Christians who read the Bible, they have no idea what is coming. They have no idea of the supernatural aspects that are just about, that could occur through the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Jeff, you talk about satanic manipulation in your book. Are these aliens demonic in nature, do you think?
Yes, I believe they are. What we have from a Christian perspective, and that's where my book comes from a Christian perspective, looking at Bible prophecy, what we have, even going back into ancient history, we have all people all over the world, records of them, having contact with supernatural beings. If we look at the Middle East and the gods of Egypt, the gods of Samaria, all through the Mesopotamia and even into the Levant, we have all kinds of animal-headed gods and various gods out there that appeared to people for thousands of years. Church history, and I'm talking mainly at this point about Catholic church history, records the fact that these beings do interact with people. They interact with them, unfortunately, they interact with them sexually. And that's what we get with the alien abduction phenomenon. And this thing just mushrooms out into all aspects of society. I believe it's a paranormal event when a UFO manifests in the atmosphere. It's not a coincidence because according to the Bible, that's where these fallen beings dwell. Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. That is their domain, in the spiritual domain. We have the natural world that we all live in, and then there is a supernatural world. It's another dimension, and these beings are interdimensional. They can move into our dimension. They move easily back into their dimension. That's what they are created for. We have both fallen angels and unfallen. And both have appeared and both have interacted with humanity for thousands of years. When a UFO manifests in the atmosphere, that energy, they have the the ability, the supernatural ability to manipulate time, space, and matter in our dimension. That's what we see. When we have an authentic UFO event occur, we are seeing the manifestation of a spiritual entity. The Bible refers to as demons and fallen angels. I mean, let's look at the, for instance, let's look quickly at the abduction phenomenon. Now, what we have in the abduction phenomenon is people, these beings use spiritual power to manipulate the perception of reality so that the person believes that they're going somewhere. Now, because they're spiritual, that doesn't mean that they don't interact with the environment, because they do. These things can leave bruises on people's skin. They mark their body in various ways. But what we're dealing with is a spiritual power. They use spiritual power to manipulate the human mind. The reality that they can create is so powerful that you cannot tell the difference between that reality and the reality we live in every day. Some of this was documented in some of the books by Dr. Jacques Vallée. He talks about that the medical examination, which abductees are said to be subjected, and this is from his book Confrontations, is often accompanied by sadistic sexual manipulation. He goes on to say, this is reminiscent of the medieval tales of encounters with demons. It makes no sense in a sophisticated or technological or biological framework. Any intelligent being equipped with scientific marvels that UFOs possess would be in a position to achieve any of these alleged scientific objectives in a shorter time with fewer risk. That's Dr. Jacques Vallée from his book, At Confrontations. He also discusses in that book how people have been severely injured and even killed when they encountered UFOs. And he's not the only writer that has addressed that. The late John Keel, who died in 2009, he, as far as I know, he was not a Christian. And I don't know about Dr. Jacques Vallée. But John Keel said in his book, Operation Trojan Horse, that after surveying the ancient literature of demonology, that he wrote, and this is a quote, the manifestations and occurrences described in this imposing literature are similar, if not entirely identical, to the UFO phenomena itself. He later comments that the UFO manifestations seem to be, by and large, merely minor variations of the age-old demonological phenomena. So, yes, I believe there's enough evidence to say that when you have an authentic UFO event, an authentic abduction event, that you're dealing with fallen spiritual powers who manipulate time, space, and matter and create an entirely new reality in the human mind.
Wow, you also talk about these things will happen when there is full and open alien disclosure, which was shocking, actually. I just had an interview with Mr. Stephen Bassett. He, like some others, are pushing for a disclosure. Your thoughts on that are this is very bad, correct?
Well, I believe that it is. Let's look at it this way. Let's say, for instance, that all of a sudden in our skies we had thousands of UFOs all over the world, just manifested. And that is a very real possibility according to Bible prophecy. And I'll get into that here in just a little bit. But what we have is the fallen ones being cast from the heavens in Revelation 12. As a matter of fact, let me just flip over there to it. John says in Revelation chapter 12, he says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third of the part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon, and then it goes on with some other things there, but it says in verse 7, and this is the key. I believe this is the first, I believe there will be three invasions of our planet. The first one is in Revelation 7, which says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place any more found in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, it says in verse 12, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has a short time. Alien disclosure, if it comes from official sources, for instance, scientific or the Vatican, for instance, or from the President of the United States, or whoever it comes through, they're going to actually change world culture with this. When people learn that officials have declared that we have discovered that alien life is real, that we're not alone in the universe, and these beings have been coming to Earth for thousands of years, it'll change culture. People, I think that once they see this, it will cause people to lose whatever faith they've had, and they will place their faith in these alien beings. Because the main part that we have to understand is that when they do come here, they come with supernatural power. They will be, quote-unquote, gods, the little g, gods. That's the way they have been viewed for thousands of years in ancient cultures, and I believe that the Bible reveals that they're coming back. This actually began in Genesis 6. If you look at Genesis 6, you'll see that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took wives. It says the word took, the Hebrew word that's used for, and we use the English word took, actually means to seize and to capture. That's talking about abduction. These beings manifested in the material world that we live in, our dimension, they took women, they created their offspring, were the beings that we call Nephilim, and they corrupted the human genome. That caused humanity to go headlong into an abyss of darkness. The wickedness was so great because of this that God was forced to destroy the earth with a flood to cleanse it and just begin all over again. Imagine when these beings come back, and as I read just in Revelation 12, what's going to happen in our world? It's going to be a dangerous time.
I want to ask you, okay, so obviously disclosure is going to be a bad thing. Now, you did say in your book as well that these beings are highly intelligent, and they are fooling the very intelligent people of this world. How are they not seeing the things that you're saying?
The scientists believe in the natural world. They believe in evolution. They do not, there are exceptions, of course. There are Christian scientists, and I'm not talking about the religion. I'm talking about a scientist, an astronomer, an astrophysicist who actually believes in God, believes in the creation, and believes in the biblical paradigm, the biblical worldview. But many scientists do not. They do not hold that view. They hold a naturalistic view of the world. The supernatural has no place in their worldview. Can you imagine somebody like that who only believes in naturalism, does not believe that there is a supernatural aspect to life, when they are confronted with beings who claim to be from another world, another planet? They come here and they have powers to alter physics, change the reality that we live in, change the scientific worldview from where it is today into something where it almost looks like magic, I should say. These people, even though they're very intelligent, and many of them are very good people, please do not get me wrong, very good people, but there is a spiritual blindness that goes with the denial of God. If somebody refuses to acknowledge God, He will let them go that way if they want to deny him and turn away from him. But they also, in the process, when a person does that, they become blind. It doesn't matter if the person is a ditch digger or a cook or an advanced scientist with all kinds of PhDs behind their name. Spiritual blindness affects everybody. So when this thing begins to happen, even the most intelligent and educated among us can be and probably will be deceived by it because they deny God.
Okay, Jeff, I was wondering, talking about, you know, going along in that vein, do you think that the aliens or demons might be behind the quick pace of technology in order to get more access all over the world through the internet or any other accessible technologies in order to make their ultimate disclosure have a bigger global impact?
You know, that's a good question, and it's possible. Let's go for just a for instance, with the discoverers of the DNA molecule. I believe it was Francis Crick, if I'm not mistaken. They talked about, those two guys who discovered the DNA molecule talked about the fact that they used small amounts of LSD to enhance their mind to picture what the DNA molecule looked like. Now, once a person does that, they open their mind to the spiritual dimension. For instance, many people today are going to South America using drugs such as ayahuasca to enhance their ability to interact with the spiritual dimension. I find it very interesting that those who use that, especially that specific drug, always see serpent beings. It's incredible. They all talk about interacting with not only various animals, but serpent beings who talk to them, who reveal knowledge. So in that respect, it's possible that these beings behind the scenes work with certain people to enhance their mind and to give them ideas. Now, obviously, we have some very bright people in the world who create all kinds of good technology. But something that has always amazed me once I discovered this, back in the 70s, and it may even go back earlier than that, our United States government was involved in several experiments using ESP, remote viewing, and these kinds of things. I believe that these techniques are mediumistic techniques. They're not new. The name remote viewing may be new, but it's an old technique. Astral travel is it's an old technique that the some occultists use. They think they're leaving their body and they're traveling through various worlds, that kind of thing. They interact with various beings while they're on the spiritual dimension. The problem is that how far did our United States government and other governments, because China was doing this, I believe, and Russia was doing it as well, how far have they gone and received information to enhance technology that we have today? That's a question. I can't answer that because that information is no doubt classified, and it's very difficult for ordinary people to find out. But we do know that they were using remote viewing back in the 70s, and I think the program ended in 1992, if I'm not mistaken. And what kind of information did the military-industrial complex gain from those techniques? And the question is, are they still doing it? We don't know whether they are or not. They claim that the program stopped, but how do we know? Or is it possible that technology using computers and using other technological devices has enabled them to reach out to these beings and that they can interact with them using this technology? It's a frightening thought when you think about that.
I have so many things I want to ask you, but let me touch on this for just a moment. I want to know your thoughts about crop circles. Now, I did watch, and we're going to have him on our show as well, as Dr. Horst Drew, who studies crop circles. He is a scientist, and he has decoded several crop circles, and he found and another binary code, okay? It's a second one. We only know of the zero and a one, but he says he found another one, okay? Now, when he decoded that crop circle, it said that we either disclose and evolve or we're dead, okay? That, to me, only made sense since I've read your book, because that would seem like it's total deception to me. What do you think about that, or have you heard about that at all?
Well, no, I haven't heard about that, and I don't know that gentleman's work. But what I can say about that is this. What you're telling me is that if we don't evolve, we're going to be dead?
Yes. If we don't disclose, he said, if the message said we either disclose or and evolve or we're dead.
Okay, the question is that first pops into my mind is what do they mean by evolve? Does that mean that when these beings appear that they're going to take their DNA and mix it into human bodies?
We either disclose and tell it to other countries, you know, so that we can get prepared for what's coming, or we're going to be dead. He said that the beings that wrote this are trying to help us, and I was wondering if you had seen or heard of that before.
No, I had not heard of that, but I tell you, I do find it interesting that let's go back just a few years back into the 80s, and President Reagan, in about four or five different speeches, talked about the alien threat. And to quote him, he says, in our obsession with the antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites us, all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I find that statement, and I find that statement frightening, because are they going to create the universal threat, or are these beings going to come and help the governments of the world create this universal threat to bring control over the planet? For instance, a completion of the New World Order that many people are talking about.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's actually a very frightening thing when you realize what kind of reality are they going to bring? You know, the question we should ask is, who are these beings, and what are their intentions for mankind? At least that's where my mind goes when I think about the question that, you know, you're talking about, either evolve or die. You know, we either go their way or, you know, they're going to destroy us. Is that what he's talking about?
Yes, that's exactly what he's saying. So
that we go their way or they're going to destroy us?
Well, somebody's going to destroy us, and it is going to be an alien race.
Yeah, that's what my whole book is about. I mean, it's about, I think that when we talk about the possibility of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy through a being called the Antichrist, the problem that most people have had ever since John wrote the book in 96 AD is that they focused on the Antichrist being a human being. The problem is the Antichrist is not a human being. The Antichrist is a fallen being. And many people over the years, over the centuries, have actually made fools of themselves. For instance, when Ronald Reagan became president, Ronald Wilson Reagan contains six letters in each name, and they said, well, he's the Antichrist. Of course, then you had Bill Clinton was the Antichrist. Then the Pope was the Antichrist. And it goes on and on and on, the naming of human politicians, human religious figures, when the Bible plainly tells us who the Antichrist is. And it plainly tells us that when these beings come down, they're going to open what the Bible calls the bottomless pit, release these things. And in Revelation 9:11, there's going to be a being emerge, and his name is Apollyon. In the Greek, which means destroyer, his name is also Abaddon. In the Hebrew, which means destruction. And so this being is going to come out, and he's going to take the reins of power from men and fallen angels, and he's going to lead this world down to, you know, to a onto a path of destruction. When you talk about we either evolve or these beings are going to destroy us, when they come here, what are they going to do with the resistors? Because not everybody's going to accept these beings at face value as to what they are. That's a big problem. And those that that refuse to believe in God and to believe in Jesus Christ and to realize the Bible prophecy is true, they're going to march down that path, and they're going to accept these beings. And it's going to be the same thing that happened during the days of Noah is going to happen in our time. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that Jesus even himself said. Matthew 24:37, He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, the same social conditions that Noah faced before the flood are the same social conditions that we're going to face today when these beings arise. Just as he said in Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And that's a frightening thought when you realize this. When you understand these beings are going to come down from the sky, and we're going to have, well, according to the scripture, at least three invasions, and they're going to, they're going to either evolve humanity or we're going to die. When these beings come, they have nothing but destruction in mind.
And Jeff, where is the Antichrist, since he is not a person but actually another entity? Where would he be right now?
Well, the Bible addresses that. Actually, John wrote about it three times. And I think that when the Bible is talking about something three times like this, especially with a being like this, I think we should sit up and take notice. I don't believe that God would set such a severe judgment in motion without warning us. And that's exactly what he's done. For instance, let's look at Revelation 11:7. And when they, the two witnesses, when they, it's talking about the two witnesses, shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. In Revelation 17:8, he wrote that the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. In Revelation 9, we see that the bottomless pit is opened, and Apollyon rises out of the bottomless pit. That's exactly where he is. This bottomless pit is referred to in the Bible as Tartarus. The word is only used one time in the Bible, and that's in 2 Peter 2:4. And the Apostle Peter wrote, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned," now when he says that, he's referring to the Genesis 6 event. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." The word, or English word hell, is the Greek word Tartarus. Tartarus is referred to in ancient literature as the well of the abyss. In Greek literature, it is the lowest place in what we call hell. They would call Hades. But Tartarus is the darkest level of hell. It's like the well, like a cistern in hell itself. That's where these beings are. Jude wrote about the same group of rebel angels who seduced the daughters of men. In Jude 1:6, verse 6, it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day." So right now, these beings, with Apollyon being their king, are located in what the Bible calls the heart of the earth, and it's the well of the abyss, and it's called Tartarus.
I want to discuss something in your book that I've heard a lot about it, actually. I want you to tell us, Jeff, how deceitfulness in pop culture is being used against us.
Well, we can see this. Obviously, television is one of the biggest enemies that we have. And yet, everybody in culture is hooked on TV. They're hooked on their cell phones. They're hooked on social media. And all these things are working in concert against us. There are approximately six companies. Get that, six companies, and it's amazing that's the number six, but you can look this up. This information is publicly available online. There are six companies at the top who control the media for the entire world. Now, when you have six companies who run the media of the entire world, they're actually manipulating the minds every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, of billions of people all around the globe. So actually, the only people who aren't being manipulated are those who see it and who kind of remove themselves back from it. This doesn't mean we shut ourselves off from media and all these things, just realize that they are social engineering culture, as a matter of fact, world culture, through the media, through television, through the internet, through magazines, through books. This actually was going on long before the internet came along. Even back in the 1930s, young men were reading magazines called, science fiction magazines, aliens abducting women and aliens coming down. And these seeds have been planted over the years. You talk about the 60s, we have the Star Trek and the talk about aliens and galactic confederations. And these things are all common things that people talk about even today. Even somebody who's really not hooked into to UFO phenomenon, doesn't pay any attention to it, understands these things because from the 60s on, especially, given all the movies and the TV and everything, minds have been conditioned over time to believe that there are extraterrestrial aliens in the universe. Everybody believes in aliens. Everybody believes it's out there. Not long ago, a few years ago, as a matter of fact, there was a poll, I believe it was in Great Britain, that came out. More people believe in aliens than in God. That's shocking.
That's unbelievable.
When you talk about a statistic like that, that's shocking. And now that poll was in Great Britain. But I'm willing to wager that if you did the same poll in the United States, you would probably come up with close to the same result. More people believe in aliens, extraterrestrial beings, aliens, than they do in God. That's frightening. So actually, if you want to look at it this way, it won't be difficult for them to supernaturally deceive the entire world. It's not going to be a hard thing for them to do.
All right, Jeff, I was wondering, why are Christian leaders all over the world not sounding the alarm on this coming event?
Well, first of all, they don't believe it. When my book first came out, I talked with various Christian leaders that I know. I had one pastor that I was talking to, and believe me, when I talk about these men, they're good men. They love God. They love their church. They love their work. They love serving the Lord. So please do not get me wrong when I say these things. I mean no harsh criticism here, other than the fact that when they're presented with something like this, they refuse to believe it. I had one pastor, he just laughed in my face and walked away. And but on the other hand, I had a pastor call who wanted to talk to me, invited me to lunch. I went to lunch with him. He had read my book. He asked questions. He was interested in it. He is a PhD. He's a seminary professor. And he's starting to see the same things that I'm seeing, that Bible prophecy and world culture and knowing what we know about ancient history and the history in the Bible, Genesis 6, for instance, the appearance of the Nephilim, sons of God coming to earth, and the possibility that Jesus tied this in with future prophecy and the days of Noah. That's the important key right there. But some of them are seeing it. Most of them are not. Most of them are busy. They're working. They're working in their churches. For instance, if they bring up a controversial subject like this, they may lose people. They may lose the money, and I don't mean any condemnation by saying that. I realize it does take money to run a church. I mean, you have to pay the electric bill. But there are a lot of things that are preventing them from seeing this. Some are seeing it. Most are not. And that's where we're at.
All right. The book is Alien Antichrist, and you can get your copy on Amazon. We have more Jeffrey Wingo and the terrifying revelation right after this.
right, we are back now with Jeffrey Wingo, and we're discussing his book, Alien Antichrist, tonight. Now, are there people using rituals and human sacrifice to bring fallen angels back?
Well, I have no knowledge of anybody doing that today. I mean, I'm sure that it's possible that some people in occultic technique, you know, using occultic techniques, try to summon these beings. It's possible. It's actually, to be honest with you, it's very easy to summon them if somebody is hooked into it. I don't know of anybody doing it today, to answer your question. It's possible that it could be happening. We do know that in ancient history, and even in the Bible, that ritual human sacrifice was used to summon these beings. Now, we see in 2 Kings, even King Josiah, he put down the idolatrous priest. It says, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense to the high places. They were worshiping what's called the host of heaven. And in that case, what the host of heaven refers to are not the planets and the stars that we see in the sky, although that can be called the host of heaven. But what they were talking about is the heavenly host. And mainly what they're talking about in this context are the fallen hosts of heaven, that these things, they do these rituals, and these beings manifest, and they give them knowledge. And we see this even with Solomon. King Solomon started building high places south of the city of Jerusalem, in the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom, and they sacrificed children there. It was ritual sacrifice to bring forth these beings, and it works. They actually were in contact with these beings, but the danger here is obviously not only is murder being committed, but the danger is that once contact is made with fallen spiritual entities, you never know where it's going to go because it always ends badly. You never know what's going to happen, but let me rephrase that. It always ends badly no matter where it goes. But as far as today goes, I have no idea if anybody's doing that kind of activity at this time.
I was wondering if there are benevolent entities, or is it usually just demonic entities that are trying to manipulate and control or show these sort of signs and wonders?
When they summon these beings, for instance, when the Bible talks about the ancient Israelites, some of the priests who were into ritual sacrifice, not of animals, not to God, but to summon these beings, it always ends badly. I mean, let's look at the worship of various gods throughout the Mediterranean basin. It was all over the place. The being was called Moloch, and this being required ritual sacrifice. And what they did was they built a giant altar inside a brazen the being had the head of a bull, and its arms were stretched out, and they would lay a little child on those arms, and then the arms would move up, and the child would roll into the belly of the beast, as it were, and humans were sacrificed in that way. The Carthaginians, the ancient Carthaginians just across from Rome, the ancient Carthaginians there in North Africa, that was their main god, and they sacrificed their children in this way. It always ends badly when people go this route.
Jeffrey, are we alone in the universe?
I believe we are, and there's several reasons for that. Yeah, I think that we are alone. We have God, and He created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, everything was perfect, but obviously man fell. Adam and Eve partook of the fruit that was offered to them by the serpent. Humankind fell, and actually that was the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ, to redeem mankind from that fall. But in saying that, Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 8, that the entire creation, because of that event, the entire creation groans under the weight of that. And we can see that. Astronomers look at the universe, and they can tell that there are things happening, chaos in certain places, stars explode, stars die. If there were beings out there, and God created a new heaven and a new earth, He destroyed this present earth, the present heavens, with fire, as it says in the book of I think it's 2 Peter talks about that. That the earth and the heavens both will be destroyed. If there were other beings out there, these beings would also be destroyed, and they would have nothing to do with earth and the fall of man. In other words, mankind, because mankind fell, these beings would suffer. That's why one of the main reasons why I believe that we're alone in the universe. The other thing is that the focus of God and angels, both fallen angels and holy angels, have always been directed to the earth and the inhabitants here. The Bible says that when God created the earth, the angelic host who were present shouted for joy. Now, when Satan fell from his exalted position, he didn't flee to some lonely place in the cosmos. He's here. He's the prince of the power of the air. So he didn't run away. And when Jesus came to earth to die on the cross to redeem mankind, he came here to genetically link himself with humanity. He became the Son of Man and died on the cross and was resurrected, and he's coming back as the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we see that even in eternity, God will dwell with man. It says in Revelation 22, God himself will dwell on the planet Earth with mankind. That's the reason, that's one of the reasons, or those are the many reasons why I believe we're alone in the universe.
Okay, Jeff, where do you think that UFOs originate from?
I believe they originate from the spiritual dimension. These are fallen beings. In the book, I go into great detail to prove that, according to the Bible and ancient history, that they dwell in the heavens. We have above the earth, obviously, the atmosphere, and then we have that's the first heaven. And then we have the second heaven, which is the higher atmosphere, being into outer space, the galaxies, the planets. The universe itself is the second heaven. The third heaven would be where God dwells. These beings dwell in the air above us. We can't see them. Human eyesight is only a very small, narrow frame on the spectrum of light. So we can't see these things until they decide to manifest in some way that we can see them. And when we look at them, for instance, I've actually seen these UFOs that people see sometimes, they call them orbs of light. They actually look like they're bleeding through into our dimension of time and space. And it's not a coincidence that UFOs are in the air. I mean, that's where they dwell. And even NASA, in some of their video feed from the International Space Station, they've cut the feed off several times because these things have manifested in the background. You can see them as they're leaving the atmosphere of the Earth, going into space, and some of them are coming back. I don't know how far out they go, but I do know that Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air, and it's not a coincidence that these beings dwell up there in the spiritual dimension. They have the ability to travel between their dimension and our dimension. That's why these things sometimes appear to bleed through. I believe it's a great mass of energy that manifests in our atmosphere, or they can create matter. They can manipulate matter to make it look like a nuts and bolts UFO, a flying saucer, or a craft of any kind. They have that ability to manipulate time, space, and matter. And when humans see them, when they interact with them, for instance, let's say A Close Encounter of the Third Kind. Everybody's seeing that movie. The UFO comes down. You see these beings step out. What they do in real life, although that was a movie, what they do in real life is they use spiritual power to manipulate the human mind. It's not that they're not there. They can really be there. When they come down, sometimes they break tree branches off. They leave prints on the ground. They burn the grass and the other environment, and weeds are trampled down. For instance, in authentic crop circles, they may UFO may come down and perform this manifestation to crush the crop to produce this crop circle. And so they have the ability to move into our dimension, to manipulate the environment, to manipulate the human mind, and they actually dwell above us. We can't see them, thank God. They're here with us. They work to lead humanity to do evil things through temptation and through the mind. And even we see it, and I know this really sounds strange, but we see this a little more in the culture in the United States. It's a little more prevalent in third world countries. But here lately we've had instances where people, they take all their clothes off and they attack people. And you had several instances of men who attack somebody and kill them, and they're eating their flesh. And that's what the Nephilim did. That's one of the things that the ancient chroniclers talked about. They were into cannibalism. And so we see this manifestation. And coincidentally, well, it's not coincidentally, but together with that, I've read more articles in the past 2 years about exorcism than any other aspect of the church. For instance, coming out of Rome, they are educating more and more priests and more Christian, regular Christian, Protestant Christians are also seeing this, people coming to them for deliverance from demonic manifestation. These things manifest in the air. They manifest in people who open themselves up to it. They affect the environment. They affect the human mind, and they're dangerous. UFOs and aliens are dangerous. And if people are interested in these things and they believe that they're real extraterrestrials from Zeta Reticuli, for instance, they're only fooling themselves. This thing is a deception. Space actually is too big for travel between star systems. And we know that the planets in our solar system, they're all dead. No matter what they send to Mars, they don't find anything. There's nothing there. Rocks and dirt, same thing on Venus and on every planet here. There's no life here. Everything is sterile in space. So when these things when they come here, they pretend to be aliens. They bleed through the dimensional veil. They manifest in various ways, and they use spiritual power to manipulate the human mind.
Thousands of people have simply disappeared, never to be seen or heard from again, are found dead under very mysterious circumstances. And many of these are in our national parks. And do you think that these incidents could very well be at the hands of these demonic alien forces?
That I do not know. I really have no knowledge of that. I don't know, although I know that, for instance, I talked earlier about Jacques Vallée and his book Confrontations. That book can be obtained from Amazon or the other booksellers. He talks about the fact that he has several instances in there where they have burned people. People have died because of the injuries they received from them. There are other accounts and other writers talk about the fact that these things can burn the skin. They cause blindness, even sometimes a temporary blindness. And then we see abduction events. For instance, Travis Walton, who disappeared for a week. And he's not alone in that kind of an occurrence. Many people have disappeared for periods of time. And even the ancient legends go back. We talk in Europe about fairies and leprechauns and that kind of thing. They come into our environment and cause people to vanish. And they go into their land, into their area. These things have been written about for hundreds of years. As far as those go, you're talking about like a national parks in the United States. I have no idea. It's possible. It's possible that, you know, they died through natural means or, you know, God forbid somebody would, you know, bring harm to them. But the answer to your question at that point, I can't answer.
Okay. Fair enough. You talk about how to unmask these aliens. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Well, Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he said that Satan he can change and transform his appearance. He comes as an angel of light, and we know from the Bible that fallen beings are dark and their darkness. They have removed themselves by choice from God and from all that is good, and they've turned dark and they've turned evil. And Paul used the word metaschizmatio, I believe it is. My pronunciation is not correct on that. But what that means is the ability to change, the ability to transform. And these things have the power that they can manifest to human beings in various ways. For instance, I talked earlier about ancient gods, animal-headed gods, for instance, from Egypt, from Samaria, and from other places in the ancient world. Did these beings manifest to them as those gods, and that's why those gods are personified the way they are in ancient literature and tombs? They can manifest as anything they want. If you take a fallen angel and it's going to exercise its power, which is always used to deceive human beings, it's never used for good, always used for deception, they can create any scenario they want to. They can appear as, for instance, they can appear as a beautiful angel. It can appear as a nuts and bolts flying saucer or some kind of UFO craft up here. They often they appear as just an arrangement of lights moving across the sky. I've seen that myself. There are times when, for instance, somebody will open themselves up to the demonic through occultic means, for instance, a seance. Something may manifest, and I know there's a lot of chicanery in spiritism, so we realize that, but there is a real aspect to spiritism and the fact that they can manifest as possibly a dead relative and trick that person into believing that their relative can come back and they can talk to the dead. The Bible never sanctions contacting the dead. That's a grave sin, because it opens a person up to spiritual deception. When these things manifest, you do not know whether what you're seeing is real or not, because they have that ability to affect the human mind. They can change. They can create a reality. As I said earlier, they can create a reality that's just as real and tangible as the reality that you and I face each and every day in normal life. So when somebody comes in contact with these things, how do they know what they're seeing is real? You can't. It's impossible, because they're using spiritual power to manipulate time, space, and matter, and they manipulate the human mind so that the human mind will perceive them as being real.
Wow, that's amazing, Jeffrey. We really enjoyed having you on Mysterious Radio tonight. Before we go, I want to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners where they can find more information about you.
Well, they can look online, of course. My website is alienantichrist.net, and you can also reach it with alienantichrist.com. The book, Alien Antichrist, The Terrifying Truth About UFOs, Aliens, Antichrist, and the End of Days, they can obtain from Amazon or from Barnes & Noble and other fine booksellers.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.